Hello and welcome to the DeFi Daily, a 10-minute or less DeFi and crypto update. I'm Amy here with Pat, and today is Wednesday, March 17th.
Markets are up. Bitcoin's up $3,000 to $58,975. Over the last couple of days, it did hit a bit of a low. You know, it spiked 62,000 parties in the streets. It's like the end of the Star Wars, you know, the original trilogy when all the Ewoks are dancing. But then it crashed right down immediately to 53,000. Is that too obscure a joke? I don't know. Probably not. I think our audience gets it. I trust in you guys. Ethereum is up $53 to $1,830. Dash is up at $7 to $229. Across the board, lots of really good things are up. Bitcoin Cash is up $20 to $539. Zcash is up $10 to $145. They're doing really well. They kind of dropped down to $120, but they've started to sneak back up there. And XRP just continues the long slog of 45 cents. Good for them.
So the DeFi Daily. All right.
Thanks, Pat.
DeFi Daily is sponsored by Bitwave. Bitwave is a digital asset management platform that does tax tracking for crypto and DeFi. So if you need help this year figuring out your DeFi taxes,
make sure do your taxes, people.
Make sure to check out Bitwave at bitwave.io or on Twitter at Bitwave Platform. So up first, Alameda Research invests $20 million in refinance, but wait, there's more.
Well, this is funny. So we haven't recorded in a couple of days, and so we kind of build the scripts over the couple of days and see what's going on. So we put this down. We're like, all right, hey, Alameda's putting a bunch of money into Reef. That's great. The mechanism they're doing is they're buying a bunch of tokens at a discount, essentially directly off the Reef registry. But wait, this kind of like this story, I will kind of like spoil the story by saying this reminds me of, or like doesn't remind me of this. This makes me think of like a sitcom where the main character gets caught going on a date with somebody who's not like the person he's dating. And he like says like, but wait, we weren't exclusive. And there's like a, you know, and hilarity ensues across the board. Essentially what happens is that Sushi agreed to a deal to sell a bunch of their tokens out of their treasury to Alameda at a discount. Reef then watched where those tokens went. So they kept their eye on the tokens just out of, I don't know, out of morbid curiosity or maybe they thought something might be up based on, I don't know. I don't actually know why they did this because I don't think I would have done it, but anyways, they did. They watched those tokens and lo and behold, Alameda took them and shuffled them straight over to Binance and started dumping them. So I'm like, there's so many different things that are wrong with this. A, you know, you guys know me. I've never been the biggest fan of venture rounds through token buys. Like, I think that if you're a venture company, you should probably be looking at getting equity in the businesses you're buying into. But B, you know, either put it in the contract, put a vesting period, put a lockup period. It was not explicit in the contract. The way it was sort of told to the press and to everybody was that there was a implied vesting period, or maybe there was a vesting period, but there certainly was nothing in the contract that implied a hard vesting period for these tokens. So Alameda says they did nothing wrong. Reef is furious and there's threatening lawsuits. I think they already filed a lawsuit. I think someone already filed some lawsuit somewhere. But anyways, it does not look like Reef is going to be getting $20 million. Although Alameda did pay them some amount. Like, I don't know exactly what that amount is, but they did transfer some amount to them to get that first set of tokens. So, Reef is a cool product. Like, Reef is doing some really cool stuff around DeFi. All of these projects are really neat. Alameda is throwing a lot of money around, but if they are just taking money, buying tokens on discount from, and then reselling them, maybe that's why they have so much money to throw around. I don't know. It's super interesting, but that's the story and, they're sticking to it.
Wow, what a mess. All right, so next, Morgan Stanley becomes the first big bank in the U.S. to offer its wealthy clients access to a Bitcoin fund.
Yep, this is they're actually offering access to three funds, two from Galaxy Digital and one from NYDIG, which is really a Bitcoin fund. This is going out, and they will be offering to their high net worth individuals, which are essentially our accredited investors. So, you know, accredited investors, people who have over $1 million in assets or over $5 million in a trust, or there's like a stack of these credentials, or over $250,000 a year in income, get access to things that normal people don't. And so this is one of those. Galaxy Digital, of course, has been under a lot of scrutiny lately because Galaxy Digital, you know, we actually covered it. I remember, I'll go back and look at it. We, you know, Galaxy Digital was trading at an enormous, or well, let me actually rephrase this. So we've seen different periods where different funds around crypto have been trading at different premiums. So Grayscale for a while was trading at an enormous premium over the rest of Bitcoin itself. They were trading at 100%, 1,000% at one point premium. So this is kind of the same thing, which is these guys are trading at a premium against Bitcoin, but it is an access vehicle. Where the inevitable part of this ends up is, and what everyone is waiting for, is for one of these funds to get to the point where it is rated high enough that it can be bought in either your IRA, 401k, or by a pension. That's when the real institutional money is going to come in, is when a pension, the Teachers Union of California, who has $45 billion under management, can take 5% of that and move it into crypto. When the Harvard endowment that has $30 billion, is that right?
Yeah.
It seems low.
No, yeah. 38?
That was more. God, they have so much money. When they take 5% and they move it over to crypto, that's when the real money comes. And that's when there's essentially funds that are rated in such a way that they can go into it. Because they have very strict investment guidance and audit guidance that changes what they can or can't do. So that's what we're really waiting for. This is fun, but this is not the... This is not the watershed moment.
All right. Up next, Cardano gets a Bloomberg terminal listing.
Yeah, we threw this on the news.
That's fun.
Yeah, it's super fun. We threw this on the news story because it's interesting. I don't know if it matters. Like, to be super honest, this story is saying that now if you have a Bloomberg terminal, you can look and you can see the Cardano ticker on it. Like, whoop de flippin' do, I guess. Okay, but that's like the cynical side of it. The other side is that you already had ETH, you already had Bitcoin, you already had a few other instruments, Bitcoin Cash, things like this. Now Cardano, it adds legitimacy. That is also kind of there were other things that came along with this. So there was a great quote by the guy who runs Galaxy Digital, who literally said, I've never traded Cardano. I don't know if anyone's on Cardano. I don't see anyone building on Cardano. Is this a real coin? I paraphrase there. We'll share out the real quote. I think that's really the interesting part here, because essentially there are big bets being placed. Algorand is on a run. Cardano is on a run. All of these different coins that are doing smart contract chains that are not Ethereum are on a run right now. And essentially they are all competing with what's the best way to say this? Like, they are competing with Ethereum in activity and the patience of Ethereum users. So essentially, there are things happening right now in the Ethereum world to move the needle on the gas fees. And that's the EIP 1559. We covered that in one of our last podcasts. Essentially, what this is going to do is two really big things for the Ethereum ecosystem. One is it should create a more stable fee system. It should give more, clarity to what your fees will be as a wallet, which is going to help everyone. Everyone's excited about that because it is a mess when you try to do that. And B, it's actually deflationary, because part of the way EIP 1559 is written is that part of the fees you pay, the excess fees above the normal, and there's like some formula that goes into it, instead of going to the miners, they just get burned. And everyone is excited about that. People love deflationary currencies. This always comes back to this concept of is Bitcoin a... Is it trying to be the next U.S. dollar, or is it trying to be the next gold? And in what percentage is it trying to be both of those? So with Ethereum moving to be a deflationary currency, my God, and getting more stability in its fees, and then just around the corner is going to be ETH 2.0. I would be real scared if I was Cardano, Algorand, one of these guys who's I basically have hung my hat on beating Ethereum at their own game. But that requires, it requires so much great infrastructure and so much great tooling and all these things that just aren't really appearing. So I'm kind of with Mike in this sense, which is I just don't, these are great products. They certainly could do phenomenal things in the long run. Algorand in particular is an awesome research project. I mean, the DAG itself is a really cool model for doing this. But are they going to beat Ethereum? I don't think so.
All right. And last, a SushiSwap DEX is coming to Avalanche.
Yeah, Avalanche is one of the other. Avalanche, this annoys me so much, not because of, this is like hashtag Pat Rant. There are 13 different projects in DeFi called Avalanche. I can't keep them all straight. I don't even know which Avalanche they're coming to. I guess there's a smart contract platform called Avalanche. When I first read through this, I thought they were talking about the smart contract stuff that was happening on the Bitcoin Cash blockchain. But anyways, you know, at the end of the day, the smartest thing that a lot of these coin, these side chains do, these alternate chains do is support Solidity, because it is a 5 minute, it is a 5 minute process to recompile and republish a smart contract to these other blockchains. So good for SushiSwap. They're going, they've already gone to BNB. Now they're going to Avalanche. They are making moves that in a lot of ways, like Uniswap and Balancer are not. So I, you know, I support the SushiSwap guys. Like they have come back from a very, very rocky start to end up being a very interesting project in the long run.
All right. Well, that'll do it for today. Thank you, as always, for listening to the DeFi Daily.
All right. Take it easy.